I like to read Psalm 1. Michelle, would you come and read it for me? Here we go. Psalm 1. We've got it on the screen. And here we go.
Not from the Bible.
Oh, yeah, I've got it there in the Bible. I've just copied it. Can you read that?
Yes, I can read that. And it's going to be on the screen so you can read along with me too. You can actually say it with me if you like. Psalm 1. Blessed are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night.
Amen.
They are like trees planted along the riverbanks, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do.
Yes.
But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Amen.
Thank you. Psalm 1. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a few moments. But, Father, we just pray, Lord, your presence is so strong today. And, Lord, you are speaking to our hearts. You hope is rising today. Faith is rising today. We thank you, Lord, that we can steal ourselves away from this crazy world and come and worship you together and come into the presence of the Holy Spirit together. And Lord, we just thank you for what's been shared already. And Lord, we pray as we just look at your word briefly today, that Lord, our faith will soar in you. Pray, Lord, this message will bring, Lord, change, holy change to all of our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Some of what I'm going to say today actually will dovetail a little bit with what Haley shared a few minutes ago. So we're going to come back to verse 1 in a moment. But I just want to just tell you a little bit of a story, one that that Haley's alluded to. And it's actually I'll start with a man called Abraham. Who's heard of Abraham in the Bible? He's one of the key figures, isn't he, in the Bible? He's actually one of the most important characters. And you read mostly about Abraham in the book of Genesis. And Abraham lived in an ancient nation. It was actually one of the most ancient nations in history that formed just a couple of hundred years after the flood, called the Chaldeans. That's where he lived. But these people had become corrupt and they had turned their back on God. But Abraham and other members of his family, like his brother and his nephew, they still continue to worship God. Now, a lot of you know this background, but not a lot of people don't. So just bear with me. We read in the Bible that God told Abraham then to leave his home and to move to the land of Canaan, which was quite a distance away, which is where modern-day Israel is today. And so Abraham obeyed God. And ladies and gentlemen, it's always good to obey God. I'll say it again. It's always good to obey God, you know. And while in the land of Canaan, God made a covenant with Abraham. And within this covenant, God promised Abraham that his descendants would become a blessed nation, and that his descendants would inherit the land of Canaan and it would become their own possession. That was part of the covenant. Old Abraham then had a son named Isaac, and Isaac means laughter. And Abraham passed on his covenant that he'd received from God. He then handed the blessing onto his son Isaac. Isaac got old himself and he had a son called Jacob. And then Isaac passed the covenant that he had received onto his son Jacob. And God gave to Jacob another name. What was it? Jacob's new name was Israel. That's where the name Israel comes from. Jacob then had 12 sons. And he then, as he got on, he passed the covenant that he had received. He passed the covenant of God onto his sons. Amen. You've got a covenant from God. Make sure you pass it on to your children and grandchildren in Jesus' name.
Amen.
However, a drought came upon the land of Canaan. And so Jacob and his 12 sons, and of course they had families and kids themselves, and there's about 70 of them all together, they traveled down to Egypt to wait out the drought and the famine that had come. But they actually ended up settling in Egypt permanently. And Egypt, and then in Egypt, as they settled there permanently, they multiplied because they had lots and lots of babies. And we love babies. And they became no longer the family of Jacob. They became known as the Israelites. Then one day Pharaoh and his army enslaved the Israelites. And Pharaoh used them to build his cities. Pharaoh reduced the Israelites to absolute servitude. And life was very hard for the Israelites. But as they suffered under slavery, the Israelites started to dream about the promised land, the land of Canaan, that their forefathers had told them all about. They all knew about Abraham and the covenant he had passed down to them. And so they called to God for help and deliverance from slavery, a smart thing to do. They desperately wanted to escape Egypt and move to the land of Canaan. And God heard their prayers, because that's what God does. God heard their prayers and he sent them a mighty deliverer to rescue them. And that deliverer was named Moses. And under the guidance and under the power of God, Moses brought 10 devastating judgments upon Egypt. And so Israel escaped from slavery to Pharaoh. The Israelites then headed for the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised to Abraham 500 years earlier. When they finally arrived at the border of Canaan, the promised land, there would have been an overwhelming sense of divine occasion and excitement. We're here. We've made it. And after all, when you think about it, they were on the cusp of fulfilling ancient prophecy and promise. How exciting. It would have been enough to have sent goosebumps down their back. However, the land of Canaan was occupied by 7 wicked nations that needed conquering. And so Moses, the deliverer, sent 12 spies into the land to get some intel on the best way the Israelites should enter the land. Then after 40 days, the 12 spies came back with their report. And everybody, the 12 spies, all said, "What a beautiful land Canaan really is." However, 10 of the spies declared this to everybody, to Moses, to everybody. They spoke up and said this as part of their report. "We've made," this is what they said, "we've made a terrible mistake. The land of Canaan is beautiful, we'll grant you that, but there's just too much opposition. The nations that occupy the land, they cannot be conquered. They're too powerful, they're too big, they're too strong. This is too hard for us to do. It would be better that we return back to Egypt than to try and claim Canaan for ourselves." However, the other 2 spies, Caleb and Joshua, dismissed the negative report of the 10 spies and urged everyone to trust God for victory. Come on, trust God. They reminded them that God had made them a promise, and God will and always keeps his promises. Yes. That's what they said. Nonetheless, in spite of what God had already done for them, and in spite of his promise, and in spite of his covenant with Abraham, all the people decided to listen to the 10 spies. Instead of trusting God, the whole nation gave way to fear and they gave way to unbelief. Ladies and gentlemen, real life church, fear is contagious. Fear is like a destructive plague. It is worse than COVID. Fear is like a destructive plague. It can rip right through a whole group of people. And that's what happened here to Israel. It caused all of their hope to evaporate. You've had this happen to yourself. You know when you're feeling really good and then you spend 10 minutes with somebody who's down and out and feeling really negative? And by the time you've finished, all that feeling good's gone out the window. It happened to them. All of the hope just seemed to evaporate. He did evaporate. And then panic replaced any joyous sense of occasion. They started to panic. This was a dramatic anticlimax to a powerful story, and the prophetic fulfillment of God to Abraham was now put at risk. And you all know the story very, very well. These people never did enter the promised land. Instead, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years until that faithless generation eventually died. It was their children. It was Caleb and Joshua who later entered and conquered the land of Canaan. So what was the problem with the Israelites? The problem was this, is that Moses got Israel out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of Israel. I'll say it again. Moses got Israel, he delivered them out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of Israel. Israel had taken their slave mentality with them all the way to the borders of the land of Canaan, and the slave mentality bounced around in their thinking with all of its insecurities and with all of its fear. And that slave mentality, that stinking thinking, stopped them from trusting in God, and they missed out on the promised land. Don't let that happen to you. These people were not defeated by the seven wicked nations in the land of Canaan. Rather, they were defeated by the thoughts that lurked between their ears. I'll say it again. They were not defeated by the circumstances of life. They were defeated by the thoughts that lurked between their ears. What thoughts do you have between your ears? They had failed to address their small-minded thinking, and it led to a national catastrophe. This story has a lot to say to us. We were once slaves to Satan, sin and darkness. Colossians 1, verse 13 to 14 says this, that God delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What a beautiful verse. That's what the Word of God says. Jesus has rescued us from spiritual Egypt. And one day we will go to heaven. Who's looking forward to that day? Yeah. Be honest with me. Whoever has days where you would like just to go today? You know, one rapture and we're all out of here. Amen. We're gone. Amen. We're going to go. And there'll be all these holes in the ceiling if you haven't in church. Amen. But we're not in heaven today. That day's going to come. But what about today? Well, today, listen carefully, today God has a promised land for us to enter today. We have a spiritual land of Canaan. The land of Canaan does not represent heaven. It represents a Christian life. There's a promised land for you and your family today. And our land of Canaan is where we live out the kingdom of God while living in the middle of this stupid, crazy, fallen, stinking world. Amen, amen. I got a bit carried away there. We live out the kingdom of God while we live in the middle of this fallen world. Amen. We have a new life. We have a new life. And this new life of following Jesus is a life with purpose and hope. There's always hope. Even if you can't see hope, you can see Jesus. Jesus is the living hope. There's always hope. Other people don't have that hope that we've got. We've got a blessed hope. Amen. And this new life is a life that's built upon the victories and promises that Jesus Christ has provided for us while we live in this fallen world. Psalm 1 gives us a picture of the Christian life. The verse, it says this in verse 3. It says that it's just a little picture, word picture, one verse. There you will be like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Your leaves never wither, and you will prosper in all you do. The promised land for us is a fruitful life. Amen. And listen, a prosperous life. And I'm not just talking about money. Of course, money's important. But I'm talking about this prosperity in many other ways, in your relationship, in your health, and a good sense of well-being. Amen. Making a difference. We could be prosperous. Hallelujah. However, we face the same challenge that the ancient Israelites had. Like the Israelites had a slave mentality speaking inside of their heads, we too have the old non-Christian worldly mentality speaking inside of our heads. Who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah. And that old voice of this fallen world whispers in our ear. And that voice messes with your faith and it messes with your trust in Almighty God. It is true. We've been saved from this fallen world, but getting the world out of our thinking is a whole different thing altogether. Is a whole different thing altogether. And that is because we continue to live in this fallen world. We can't escape it just yet. And our culture splashes on us all the time. I was in Dome the other day. That's a surprise. Amen. I was sitting near the window because it was packed. I think I was with you, Rochelle. And it was chucking it down with rain and there's puddles on this road. And this young lady with an umbrella, she just came around the corner and the car went right through the puddle and all over her. And she just stood there and then she just carried on walking. What a picture of what our culture does to you. It's splashing on you all the time. And our culture demands that we think and we behave like everyone else. Our culture doesn't like it when you don't think the same way as they do. Our culture doesn't like it when you don't behave the same way as they do. It splashes on you. And so as a follower of Jesus, it's important that we become aware of our thoughts and especially those thoughts that contradict the thoughts and values of Almighty God. And we have a lot of those kinds of thoughts, don't we? We all have a continual narrative going on inside our head. While I'm speaking to you right now, you've got words speaking inside your head that may have nothing to do with what's going on in the service right now. Or what am I going to eat for lunch? You've got it all going on in there. I know. And quite frankly, not all your thoughts, but even as Christians, some of our thoughts are not always healthy. We don't always have healthy thoughts. For example, we all know that a person's past can still speak and influence them. Maybe your past speaks to you. And when it does, maybe it makes you feel guilty because you can remember what you did. Or maybe your past brings up past temptations that distract you from living a clean life. And all of this stuff, the past holds you back and it stops you from being prosperous and flourishing in your faith. We all know, don't we, that our memories and experiences can still speak to us and our mistakes can still speak to us as we regurgitate them over and over again. Who's ever had a conversation with somebody and later you've gone away and replayed the conversation over and over again with all what you wish you had said? Yes. I've never done that. I just heard about it. I have done that. And the movies we've watched, the online sites we've visited, the songs that we've listened to, and the people we've spent time with, they all continue to speak to you in some way inside your head. Who's ever had it where you hear a tune that you haven't heard for years, you hear it on the radio or in somebody's car, bang, you hear the tune and bang, your brain goes back 30 years. Yeah. Who knows what I'm talking about? Absolutely, it's a crazy thing, your brain. Absolutely. And these encounters can potentially affect our walk with God and they can affect our relationships with other people. A scene in a movie or a picture online can linger for a long time in your memory. You cannot unsee a movie scene once you've seen it. You cannot unsee an unfortunate picture on your computer screen once you've seen it. It's there. You cannot unhear words that have cut you deep in your heart. They're there. And all of these sources of influence plant thoughts in your brain that are unhealthy, where they erode faith and erode hope in the goodness of God. And then the enemy, the devil, will use these thoughts against you to steal away God's best for you so that you won't enjoy your promised land. That's why it's good to have boundaries on what you allow yourself to watch and listen to. You might not be able to do anything about what you saw in the past, but you could do something about it today. And no excuse for how old you are. You should have boundaries even when you get older too. Amen. Amen. In addition, we have mindsets and assumptions that we build our lives upon without realizing that we are. But if these mindsets and assumptions are from the world, they will likely be flawed and unhealthy. I'll give you an example of what I mean by mindset. This is a trivial example, but it's where a young lady. Have we got any young ladies here today? Yeah, some of the boys are putting up their hands and that's a real concern. Amen. You've been watching, definitely been watching too many movies. Amen. It's where a young lady, she had the mindset that if a young man loved her, truly loved her, he would always open the car door for her. She believed this young lady, because when she was a little girl, her father told her that if a man does not open the car door for you, then he does not really love you. And as she grew up, she watched her father and how he would always open the car door for her mother. So this became a mindset for her. Finally, she found a good young man who promised to pick her up for a date. He pulled up to her house and met her father. And the young man was so polite and sincere. The young lady was just so delighted. Then the young man walked with the young lady to the car. He excitedly jumped into the driver's seat and told her to get in. But she stood there and cried while he wondered what was going on. A mindset is a powerful thing. And you've got mindsets, you've got assumptions about life, you've got expectations upon which you have built your life. And all of these were formed when you were young, and they're natural, I understand that. But these mindsets, and it's the same for me too, these mindsets can either help you move forward or they can hold you back from what God desires for you. It just depends on what those mindsets are. Psalm 1, and I'm not going to go long, I'll be finishing just a couple of ticks, but Psalm 1 is a tiny psalm, 6 verses, but it speaks with such wisdom to us today. Psalm 1 urges us to reject the lifestyle of the wicked and to be loyal to God.
That's right. Amen.
That is still applicable for today. Yeah. And then Psalm 1 contrasts the destiny of the wicked with the destiny of the righteous, emphasizing that the wicked are eventually destroyed while the godly prosper under the Lord's protective care. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. But please note the first verse that we've got on our screen. We've got verse 1 and 2. Please note the first verse starts by saying, "You are blessed when you do not follow the advice of the wicked." Blessed are you when you don't follow the advice of the wicked. But the truth is, brothers and sisters, if you never watch another movie, if you never switch your computer on, if you never meet another wicked person again, you've already received lots of wicked thoughts and instructions into your mind. It's already there. Your mind is a thought collector. You already have enough junk in your head to easily destroy yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of us have watched enough movies where we could actually say, I could say this, I've watched so many movies over my life. I watched about 6 or 7 on the aeroplane back to Australia. So I watched so many movies, I couldn't even remember what movies I've watched. We've watched so many movies where we could say, I've listened to the advice of the wicked. I've stood around with sinners. I've sat on my couch with a bunch of scoffers there on my screen. We've already done what verse 1 tells us that we shouldn't do. We know God is good to us. Of course he is. But we often sabotage our own lives with poor decisions because our heads are full of stinking thinking. But, that's a pretty important but in this sermon. It's a divine but. When you know all of this, when you know what is going on, when you recognize that not all of your thoughts and opinions are healthy, then you are halfway there to changing things around. So that's what verse 1's all about. And I've paraphrased it. This is my paraphrase of verse 1, Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed are you when you stop yourself from allowing the wicked junk in your head to dictate your life anymore. Blessed are you when you adjust the narrative of your thought life. Blessed are you when you admit to yourself that your mindsets and your assumptions about life need a righteous overhaul. That's my paraphrase for verse 1. Then let's look at verse 2. It says, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditate not day and night. That's talking about us. The lay in this verse is you, it's me. The law of the Lord is the Bible. Don't forget next week, we've got Bible Sunday. So let you and me, let's delight in our Bibles. In other words, what it means is get some hope building, some faith creating thoughts going on inside of your head. Get some clean, healthy thoughts going on inside of your head. Run to the Psalms. Run to the Gospels. Devour the whole New Testament. It's rich food for the mind and for your heart. Yes. Some people say, I don't understand the Bible. So what? Still read it. I can't remember what I had to eat last Monday, but it did me good. Yeah. It was probably broccoli. Yeah, it's tough at home with Rochelle on the cookie. Just run to the Bible. If it doesn't make sense, keep going, because one day it will make sense. And the word is, the Bible talks about washing yourself with the word. Be washed with the word of God. And as you read it, you're actually washing. You know, this morning I had a shower. And I washed my hair. That's why it looks so good. Washed with soap. And you know what? I do not know what the ingredients are to the soap. Rochelle puts it there, it must be okay. And I use the soap. I don't know the ingredients, but I was washed by that piece of soap. You might not know all the ingredients. You might not know what it all means. But wash yourself in the Word of God. Amen. Wash yourself. The phrase day and night up there, that's actually a deliberate hyperbole, as the psalmist wrote that, because he's exaggerated that day and night because you still have to go to work and all that. It's a deliberate hyperbole, because what he's trying to say is that let God's Word, all of the mighty promises, all of the mighty messages of hope, all of its instructions and stories, let it all percolate into every area of your life. Let it just run down into your heart. So I want to encourage everybody today, say no to the junk and say yes to the good news of God's word. Here's a scripture for you. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. This is Romans 12. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And if you do that, then you will be like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Your leaves will never wither, and you will prosper in all you do. That's a good place to say amen. I've got one thought. The musicians can come up. One more. This is a very important message. I might not have delivered it as well as perhaps I should have, but this is still a very, very important message. Don't let the devil and the world mess with your thinking. The stakes are too high. Now listen to me, everybody. If you don't mind, just look at my face, and I've written these notes down. Right now, the world is absolutely going crazy. Trouble abounds on the left and on the right. People are talking about inflation. It's probably still going to continue to rise. People keep talking about climate change. We talk about COVID. We talk about the other bugs. There's a whole bunch of other bugs apparently floating around. We talk about war. We talk about starvation in some parts of the world. Trouble in life is real. We can't bury our head in the sand and pretend it's not happening. Nonetheless, concerning you and your family, no matter what is going on around you, every promise in God's word is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. The promises of God still work. He's going to look after you. So don't give way to fear. Keep your focus on Jesus, thoughts upon Jesus, and you will overcome and enjoy your promised land in Jesus' name. Can we stand? Father, I just thank you for Real Life Church. I thank you for every person in this room. I pray for those right now battling with unhealthy thoughts. The thought life is just a train wreck. And I pray for them. We pray for one another. All of us together, we could all do, Lord, with our mind, Lord, being cleansed. And we pray, Holy Spirit, as we read your word, and listen to Christian music and enjoy Christian company, and as we encourage one another, that, Lord, the washing of your word will wash out our minds. We pray, Lord, for this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Everybody, you are who God says you are. Come on.